The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome into the Roto-World Basketball Show. We are back after the NBA's trade deadline, ready to cover as much action as possible, players and team outlooks. I am Vaughn Delzell, joined alongside the usual crew of characters, Dan Titus and Raphael Johnson, plus familiar face and guest, Kurt Helan of Basketball Talk. Helan, Kurt Helan, welcome in. Glad to have you. You were on Bet the Edge last week, and after watching the episode, you talked a little bit about the trade deadline. Did everything live up to expectations for you?
Well, yeah, because my expectations were low. Like, it was kind of what I expected. I mean, there were 20 plus trades in the week leading up to the deadline. But I mean, guys, who was the best player moved? Bogdanovich, probably. I mean, I don't know that there was anything that we're so used to. Last year, it was Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. We're used to these big trades that reset the championship race in the playoffs, and we're kind of like, Knicks made some nice moves. Like, there were moves, but I don't know that I came out of this rethinking how I see things. It's kind of mid.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, I'd argue Bogdan, maybe Buddy Hield. I really like the Buddy Hield trade, something that the three of us actually talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago on the show, that he'd be a good piece for them. So I'd like to see that come to fruition. Dan, what were your thoughts on the trade deadline? Who were you impressed with or were you disappointed in?
Yeah, I think it was a trade of the edges. Like Kurt said, no blockbuster deals, but I think some teams got better in terms of real life basketball. Like, I liked what the Dallas Mavericks did. The way that the New York Knicks were able to keep it close to the vest that OG Anunoby had surgery and still pull off getting Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic was crazy. So, especially with all the wake of injuries going on in New York. So, I think it's a good play for the Sixers getting Buddy Hield. I'm scratching my head a little bit about some of their other moves that they made. Didn't really make sense to me. But overall, I think that there were some impacts for fantasy and, real life basketball. So that's all I think we can ask for a trade deadline that doesn't feature, superstar players going to different teams.
Yeah, I'll absolutely need your opinion on campaign for Patrick Beverley there later in the show. I know that was the one you were excited for, Dan.
It's not even that one, man. It's the Jaden Springer that killed you.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that at all. But we can talk about that later.
Yeah. We will cover all that because I'm excited to talk about this. Because I did like what they did at the trade deadline, but I liked a few teams in particular. The Knicks, of course, were one of those teams, Raphael. They continue to keep building. They continue to keep winning. I was asked a couple days ago, are the Knicks now the second best team in the East with Doc Rivers and the Bucks falling under the water? It's warming up, Raphael. How you feeling?
I think the Knicks did a good job. I'm not going to go as far as to say they're the second best team in the East, because I think a lot of people are ignoring the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know their schedule wasn't the strongest when they've gone on this run, but the pieces all seem to fit together much better than they did last season for them. And they didn't do anything at the deadline. I think their biggest acquisition, so to speak, were getting Garland and Mobley back healthy. So, Cleveland, I think they're very much in that conversation. The biggest moves were made like in January. Right? Toronto may have learned their lesson from Fred VanVleet last year. So they moved Siakam and Anunoby early to make sure they got value instead of waiting for free agency. So, I'm not really surprised that it was like that, because a lot of these teams that we expect to be like the big movers, what do they have to move? So, it kind of played out how we expected it to, I guess.
Yeah, we spoke a lot on last week, Kurt. I would love to tee you in here because last week we talked about the Lakers roster. We don't know how they're going to be able to move anybody here. They don't make any deals. The Clippers and their team, they made their deal early in the year, James Harden. We've seen that team turn around now when people said that it would not work out for them. Were there any teams that didn't make any deals that you felt like maybe have missed out on something or, you know, could have did something?
Well, a couple. Guys, can you explain to me what Chicago's doing?
What are they waiting for?
I thought we were going to be selling, and then now it's at a point where I'm like, I guess we're just going to be mid, as Kurt put it. We're going to be 35 and 42.
Yeah. 42. Their last trade was August of 2021, just flat out. Like, they haven't made a trade in almost 3 years. Like, it's – or 2.5 years. Like, it's – I just – the team is – like you said, they're just going nowhere. They're average, and so why are you – convincing yourself, especially when Kurtsevich comes out and goes to the press conference and says, no, ownership would sign off on a rebuild, but I don't think we need to do it. I'm like, oh, really? So that one was there. That was one that just kind of stood out. And then the Lakers and Warriors were, you started to talk about it, guys. Like, on one hand, I mean, LeBron's 39 and this team's headed to the play-in. The Warriors are, Curry's 35 and they're worse. Like, they're, you know, it's the end of the era. But, I mean, I was listening to Pelinka. It was pretty clear he thought, we're not one small move away. Like, we're not something I could get, you know, hey, nobody wants D'Angelo Russell. But, like, D'Angelo Russell and a first wasn't going to change our trajectory. So, is it the – on one hand, I get it. Stand pat. We got three picks we can trade this summer. We'll rework this thing. On the flip side, man. LeBron's 39. He will be 40 next season. Like, can you afford to wait?
Bronny James, he's the answer, Kurt. All the pieces going to be moved for that draft position, baby. But, yeah, I'm in agreeance. I mean, D'Lo kind of rose his stock a little bit in the last, you know, 10, 15 games, playing really well. Maybe that's why they couldn't work something out. They were asking for too much. But, you know, even a team like the Golden State Warriors, Raphael made a deal. It was only a second-round pick, though. But I feel like that's another team that you have to do something right now, and you missed your opportunity. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but again, what do they have to move? You know, I think they got a second-rounder for Corey Joseph. I guess you kind of add another piece of draft capital for future moves. But they've spent so much money, and they have some huge decisions to make, most notably Klay Thompson, who's like, realizing sporting mortality right before our very eyes. It's like, it's kind of sad to watch how it play out in a public view like that. But, you know, him, the Andrew Wiggins played extremely poorly. He's come on of late. You know, I think if anything, they just need guys to play better because they don't have the resources to shuffle a deck, so to speak.
No, I agree with that. And Dan, I'll go to you for a second here. If we talk about teams that we think won the deadline, the number one team, and the player that we expect to see a lot of a fantasy draft stock improve because of the deals. But Dan, what other team would you like to talk about that didn't make a deal? Or were you too upset that the Sixers didn't get Gordon Hayward?
Nah, I was good on Gordon Hayward, but I was kind of surprised that the Orlando Magic didn't make a move. They're 28 and 24 right now, eighth in the Eastern Conference. They have a big man problem. Like, they have Goga Bitadze, they have Mo Wagner, they have Wendell Carter Jr. They could have traded one of those bigs, and bigs were coveted at the deadline. Not many were moved, which I was kind of surprised about. You know, Andre Drummond was a name that was popular in trade rumors, but you know, I would have liked to have seen the Oklahoma City Thunder go after a big man. I just think it would have made the most sense. We talked about it last week. Getting Gordon Hayward was not the answer, but I think it was a good basketball move to get a person that can catch and shoot. He can play make as well. Josh Giddey, we know his deficiencies in scoring the ball offensively, so I think that that might help them in the long run. I believe Gordon Hayward's going to be out through the All-Star break, which isn't a surprise, but when he's healthy, I think he should actually contribute. The winners at the deadline – I feel like Dallas was a winner. I think them bolstering their front court was a great idea, getting Daniel Gafford to split minutes and get into that timeshare with Derek Lively, who hasn't really been reliable from a real-life perspective and a fantasy perspective. So I think that this kind of raises their floor, getting another lob threat rim runner there to kind of hold down the fort there. I also like what the Pistons did because they waived Killian Hayes. They traded Bojan Bogdanovic. And what do we see last night, man? Marcus Sasser, 17 points, 11 assists off the bench. Free Jaden Ivey. We've been talking about it for so long. Like, Monty, it's almost like management forced Monty's hand. Like, we're going to play our young guys. So hopefully this means a good thing for Asar Thompson going forward. I'm not totally there yet because he's really only playing because Isaiah Stewart's hurt, but maybe this at least gets him into the mindset like, hey, we can keep this guy in the rotation, give him steady minutes and watch him develop, because no one's really been developing under Monty Williams this season, except maybe Jalen Duren. So I'm excited to see what Detroit has to bring now that they've gotten a couple wins under their belt and, you know, some of that dead weight off the roster.
Yeah, Dallas was one of my favorite teams at the deadline. I gave them on my NBC Sports article, and I gave the Detroit Pistons a B+. Five new players on their team. Obviously, got to overhaul that roster, and I agreed the Killian Hayes wave was pretty good. Rafael, I'm going to go to you next. You were chuckling during that Andre Drummond comment. Yeah, first of all, what's up with that?
It's absurd. Like Dan said, a lot of these teams needed help in the front court. And he's someone who could have gotten Chicago at the very least some draft capital for the future, because they may not want to face reality about a rebuild, but it's here. Like, Lonzo Ball, we don't know if he's going to play again. Zach LaVine's out for the season. You have to pay his hefty contract the next 4 or 5 years. DeMar is going to be a free agent. A few of these guys have more years behind them than ahead of them. So you have to figure this out. Who are you going to put next to a Coby White, for one example? Alex Caruso could have gotten him capital as well, you know, in terms of a return. So maybe the play-in tournament has fooled some of these executives into like a false sense of reality, because, I don't know, finishing ninth or tenth in the East, I know you get a chance to play your way into the playoffs, but what have you really accomplished, you know? So I think that's a big one. I agree with Dan. I think Dallas is the biggest winner because they attack specific needs in terms of their front court. You get Daniel Gafford to supplement what Derek Lively brings you when he's healthy. And PJ Washington, I think he's a better fit for this roster than Grant Williams proved to be, which is obviously why they made the deal. So I think Dallas team-wise is going to be the biggest winner at this draft trade deadline.
Yeah, I agree with that 100% there. And I felt like Chicago did have a lot of pieces to move, Rafael. So I was disappointed at the deadline for my favorite team. And yeah, Steelers and Bulls, my two favorite teams, just stuck in winning purgatory. We just make it to the playoffs and we get bumped back out. It's absolutely the worst. Rebuild. Kurt, who did you think won at the deadline?
I like, by the way, the PJ Washington thing. Like, I think that, Grant Williams said it's easy to play with Luka, but like, I think it's going to make PJ Washington look so good, right? Like,
yeah,
just run under the basket and he throws no look behind the back passes to you.
That pass is insane.
Yeah.
I was sitting I was at the Laker game sitting next to a scout last night, and that came up on my Twitter feed. I'm like, look at this. And we're like, what? team wise, we touched on it, and I think it's been the kind of consensus. I love what the Knicks did, because short-term, Bogdanovich comes in where Randall isn't for the next few weeks. Alec Burke is right out of Tom Thibodeau's central casting. And you get into that playoffs where things are kind of – look, I think Boston's its own tier, and then you get into question marks. But now you've got some more depth, some more guys to play around with, right? Some more opportunities. And I think that's – and the fact that they did that without, Grimes was sort of in the rotation, but on the edges of it, they don't give up a key rotation player. They somehow don't give up a first.
It's crazy.
Thank you, Detroit.
Can't you get one of those 20 protected ones? They've got
one of them. How did they not get one? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, it's weird. Didn't they want a first for Bogdanovich last year?
They did.
They wanted two.
Yeah. They were demanding two a year ago, and now they got 2 seconds. So, please. Like you said, I liked what Detroit did at the deadline, but like, that was one they could have held on to. By the way, I think you're spot on. I think that was we're going to force Monty Williams to play our guys kind of moment, wasn't it?
Fleece. Congrats, Rafael. Yeah. Let's talk about the fantasy player who could impact their team the most. Kurt, you obviously spoke on PJ Washington. I'm sure he's going to be a hot name here in this discussion, or at least someone we all think highly of. I'm going to surprise and start with Dan. Who's the guy that you think will increase his team success the most?
Marvin Bagley. Yeah.
Buddy Marv.
The unlikely. Wow. The told unlikely you.
Welcome to the bandwagon.
Raf said it a couple weeks ago, and I was lukewarm on the idea, but then when you get rid of Daniel Gafford, like, he's been playing all the center minutes for Washington. So with him out of there, Marvin Bagley has a nice road ahead for the rest of the season. The Washington Wizards didn't make any other moves. So I feel like Rashawn Holmes is a guy that hasn't really shown franchises over the last couple of years that he's still a worthwhile player. So I feel like once Matt Bagley's back from this back injury, he's going to be looking at 30 minutes a night. He's averaging 15.5 points, 8.5 boards, 1.5 blocks already in just a short time with the Wizards. So I think it's wheels up for him. If you have him, stash him if you can. I think he's still under 40% rostered. So yeah, I would definitely take a look at Marvin Bagley right now, which is so weird in 2024 to say that. But hey, man, opportunities don't come for everybody, and this is a good one for Marvin.
Hey, 9 straight games of 10 plus points for Money Marv, coined by Rafael Johnson of NBC Sports.
Money Marv.
Rafael, who do you think is the biggest fantasy impact player?
Yesterday afternoon, I was pretty excited about Chimezie Metu in Memphis, and then they waived him this morning. So that kind of goes out of the window. GG Jackson probably had a lot to do with that, given how well he played last night. He got his deal, so congrats to him. I think Gigi's a winner, just because, you know, he played well and they've shown faith in him, that guaranteed contract. Marcus Sasser, we mentioned him earlier. Monty has to play him now, and I think that's going to be good for the Pistons. I'm going to say Quentin Grimes in Detroit too, because one thing that team really missed was floor spacers, especially when you have Cade Cunningham. You need guys to be able to catch and shoot around him. Jaden Ivey went 7-for-7 from 3 last night. Now, we're not going to talk about what happened from 2, but, you know, you hit 7 threes. That's pretty
good. Or those turnovers.
Yeah, he shot 1-for-14 from 2, which is incredible. But, yeah, I think Quentin Grimes, his catch and shoot ability, I think he can put the ball on the floor a little bit. So I think he's someone else where they're going to have to play those young guys, figure out what they have, who all fits and who doesn't. So I think he's another potential winner in terms of fantasy value here.
Where do you think Simone Fontecchio is going to kind of fit into there? I thought that was an interesting trade. He sounded like he was a guy that was coveted by a lot of teams. And for the Pistons to get him, another, you know, pure shooter type of guy that can stretch the floor. So I'm curious to see, like, how him, Grimes, how they kind of fit together.
Yeah, that's a good call on him. You know, he didn't really seem to fit too well. He had his moments in Utah, but that rotation seemed a bit funky in terms of all the bigs that they have playing guys like the 3, where they probably should be at the 4 or maybe the 5. John Collins playing a 5 until they had the until they moved the trade and they moved Kessler back into the starting lineup. So yeah, Fontecchio can definitely help too, but I think I'm a bit higher on Grimes in terms of those additions in Detroit.
Kurt, what's your thought on Fontecchio?
I like him. I thought they might have overpaid for him, frankly, a little, but this is what's interesting, and this is kind of now falls on Monty Williams. Will Hardy's a really good coach. Will Hardy's really good at and one of those guys who's good at putting people in positions to play to their strengths and kind of thrive that way. And now it's kind of on Monty to you were just talking about, that's a really interesting roster. I love the Grimes call, because Cunningham, Ivy, Grimes, that's kind of, and you got Durin in the paint, and suddenly that's, they're not winning a lot of games, but they're going to be interesting. They're going to be kind of fun to watch and better over this second half, but also just, you see the growth potential, but it's on, it does kind of fall to Monty now and slotting Fontecchio in there. If you can shoot, I got to say, man, I do feel bad that you take a true guy from Italy, an Italian, and make him go play Little Caesar. Pete's Arena just seemed wrong, man.
Yeah.
So disrespectful.
Yeah, when you put it like that, there's no way around that one. That's just not, doesn't work out well. He's
you know what's going to happen now, sure. Right?
What's going to happen?
You're going to be watching a game on League Pass, and they're going to have one of those timeout segments where Little they have Caesars. Him try Little Caesars pizza. No, what? Watch, it's going to happen. You've given him the idea, Kurt.
Yeah, isn't that the endorsement you want? And he's like, all right, what you pay me?
Cut all that New York pizza or some pizza somewhere else, you end up in Detroit. That sucks. We'll note that the Pistons won two straight games. 8 wins on the year for Detroit, and they may not finish with the worst record. They're going to be creeping up on a few teams like the Charlotte Hornets, so that may be something fun worth watching. Before we move on to team-by-team breakdowns, Kurt, did you have any other players you wanted to point out that might make an impact?
I'm kind of curious where some of the guys land on the buyout now, too. Like, and I'm sure you guys will get into that in the coming weeks. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie seems destined for Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an interesting backup fit. Like him for 15 minutes a night off the bench. I don't know but how much does that help your fantasy team?
Yeah, he hasn't been efficient at all this year. And
I
would say he played some of his best ball in Dallas. Like, so I think there is some glimmer of hope there, but I think he would probably be bench depth. But I want to get your take on this real quick. The Raptors deciding to not pay him that $1.5 million. Was that pettiness, or they're just like, no, we have to save our cap as much as we can. Like, we don't want – because they essentially just gave up Schroeder for nothing, right, in the end.
Yeah, that was – I don't know if it was pettiness, but, like, I was wondering – my first thought was, did that come from ownership? Like, did that
– right. Like, we don't want – we're good on Spence.
Yeah. What is Toronto going to be now? Like, I do like that they finally kind of picked a direction. Now it's – there's times it almost feels like RJ and Emmanuel Quickley are asserting themselves a little, I don't want to say too much, but like, dude, this is Scotty's team. Yeah. You get Scotty the Rock and you guys play off of him as opposed to those guys kind of given the chance have dominated the ball a little. I think they've got to find a balance there, but they also seem, don't they seem to be, I don't know, Quickley seems like a great fantasy pickup to me just because like he's playing free now. Like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I feel like they were both kind of really freed a bit since being in Toronto, man. It's been almost a revelation for both of them because they obviously both didn't really fit too much in the Tibbs system. But I feel like you're right, though. Like, the play that RJ Barrett's been having lately, definitely above expectation. And I think it's probably a sell-high moment if they eventually figure out, like, hey, guys, you guys are probably dominating the ball a little bit too much. Like, as you said, this is Scotty's team. So maybe we'll see that usage kind of tinker down a little bit less as the season wears on, as Scotty gets more used to playing with teammates.
I think they've got the rest of the season for Darko to kind of play around with how he wants this thing to look. Mm-hmm. And gotta get Jakob Poeltl his touches.
Yeah.
He's definitely someone that they could keep around for a little bit. But I want to make a note that Dan, you got to cut them some slack, man. When you play with Julius Randle for a few years, I mean. That guy's putting up 20-25.
Yeah, he's going to dribble the air out the ball a little bit.
So they got to get their shots back from the last few years, and then they're going to work it out and, you know, find some chemistry and everything like that. But luckily, we can cut the viewers some slack, too, because baseball season's coming back, gentlemen. That means the Roto-World Draft Guide is also coming back. The countdown to spring training is on. So for those looking to get a head start in the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft succeeds. Visit NBCSports.com/draft guide and use code BASEBALL24. Get 10% off at checkout. Baseball season, I'm not excited for it. I'm not ready, gentlemen. But I'm a Pirates fan, so take that.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For what you want. Let's talk about some team-by-team thoughts and break down some players on the move. Kurt, I'll start with you. And I designated the Dallas Mavericks to you. You've already talked about P.J. Washington a little bit. Of course, they got Gafford, too. Got rid of Grant Williams, Seth Curry, Rashawn Holmes. So a lot of movement there. I grade them out an A. What do you grade them as and think about their process?
My concern wasn't the guys they brought in. Like I said, I think I'm high on P.J. Washington. I think this is a real opportunity for him. Gafford gives them – now they've got a couple of consistent bigs that get out there and block some shots and hopefully and importantly help their defense, which is like – not really worried about them, especially get to a playoff series. I'm not worried about Kyrie and Luka putting up points. Like they'll be fine. It's can you get enough stops to stick around? And my only concern was just that they gave up. I mean, there was a first in there. I believe there was a first, if I'm remembering that right. There was it seemed like they gave up a lot for what they got, but it really could work out. They really did, like you said, they addressed the clear holes on their roster. I mean, it's the front court, and they went out and got a quality big man in Gafford, and said, I'm with you guys. I'm just kind of high on PJ Washington's potential. So I'm high on what they did, but it's also, does that come together this year, or is it a next year thing? Like, are they going to be able to pull that together fast enough? And they didn't get a wing, but if you're giving up two firsts for Kuzma, you're doing it wrong. So you can wait a little bit.
Rafael, what do we think about that? You in agreement overall?
Yeah, I think that's fair. They haven't been able to get like that big name free agent wing over the years. So maybe they have to overpay a little bit in the trade market to make something happen in order to get a desirable player in. But yeah, I think, like I said earlier, their specific needs in terms of that front court, they attacked them in the trade, in these two trades, and I think they will pull it together. You get Lively back healthy. You know, you've got the rim protection between him and Gafford for 48 minutes. I think that they'll be fine. Seth Curry wasn't a rotation guy for the most part. You know, Grant Williams had his moments, but he struggled. So I think they've made upgrades across the board there. Jaden Hardy's been playing pretty well, too, recently, you know, in the minutes that he's been able to play. So you get a little more progression from him, and they might be more of a factor than they appear to be right now. And they're in a solid position in the West, I would say.
Yeah. By the way, they held on to Green. Matters, too.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping the Dallas Mavericks continue to get better because, you know, I had them to win that division. We need to get that to come through for us, Dan. But Kurt spoke on the fact that the Hornets received 2027 first-round pick. Mavericks received 2024 and 2028 second-round pick. So two second-round picks there, too, and truly in the deal. What did you think about this?
I think if you have Derek Lively, you're probably sweating a little bit. He is on IL right now, but I think I would hold him a little bit longer in fantasy just to see how this committee shakes out. I do think Gafford will eventually become the starter, but I think that based on the fact that Gafford's never been a 30-minute guy, he's always played around 25, 28 minutes. I think there's a place where these guys can both succeed. And when you're playing with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, like you should have easy buckets at the rim, a lot of rebounds and some block potential. So I wouldn't drop him just yet, but something to keep an eye on. PJ Washington, I'm curious to see how his, because he's been going off lately for the Charlotte Hornets because they've just been had so many injuries. I'm curious to see how he blends in with this team and if he suffers a little bit, at least on the points perspective. Never was a big rebounder, but I think they'll really enjoy his 3-point shooting as well as his defense. So, I think that we're going to expect a little bit less. I'm expect a little bit of a downtick in PJ Washington's production just because he's playing with such heliocentric guys like Luka and Kyrie. But I think it's a good basketball move. I'm just curious now, like, where does this take Dallas? Like, are they a Western Conference finalist now? I don't think that they're better than Denver. So, you know, again, it made the team better, but how good did it really make them in the long run?
Can they get in the top six?
I think so.
They could be five or six. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, I think that's probably the highest point they can get for this team with the type of defense that they play with Luka and Kyrie on the floor. But yeah. I don't care about top six guys. I just need better than the Pelicans. All right, so let's keep that going. I'm in agreement with all that. And I'll say about Charlotte too, you know, because we spoke a lot about Dallas. But for Charlotte, Bridges and Brandon Miller, those two are going to see an abscess of touches now. Their usages will definitely increase. And we've been high on Brandon Miller all season. So let's see him continue to keep that train going. Rafael, I'll start with you. Dan, hop in after. And then, Kurt, you follow up as well. And the New York Knicks, I need everyone to judge Rafael if he's being biased or not here. But I think he knows that his team is doing what they're doing. It's the right thing right now. Right, Raf?
Yeah, I think he did a good job. It's funny. They've been criticized for years about the secretive nature of, like, the front office, how they don't really give interviews and all that. And that may have helped them with the Ananobi situation. You know, I think Dan noted it earlier. But, you get improved depth, improved scoring in terms of Bogdanovich and Burks. The biggest thing they gave up was Quentin Grimes. And, you know, he was kind of a fringe rotation guy playing 15 to 20 minutes a night. They can easily account for that. I think the biggest thing for them is to just get healthy. Like, the All-Star break can't get here soon enough. Between Ananobi and Randall, Mitchell Robinson could be back at some point. Now you've got Hartenstein, his Achilles situation. They just have to get healthy. These guys are bringing in will help account for some of the scoring that they miss out on right now. So I think they'll be good. I'm not willing to go as far as, like, second in the East, though. I think it's up for grabs, and I like what Cleveland – how they've played recently too. So,
yeah.
Was that Kendrick Perkins that said that the second best team in the East? I feel like he was going on a whole rant yesterday about it.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like I was on the fence about some of the moves, just because, like, I think this is a clear signal that, like, hey, we're giving up on the development track of all of our last draft picks over the last several years. Like, you've literally gotten rid of all of them. From a fantasy perspective, I was thinking that Josh Hart would be impacted by this trade. Bojan Bogdanovic would only have short-term value because Julius Randle's going to come back at some point. But I feel like there's staying power for all these guys now because there's so many injuries, at least in the short term. So Josh Hart's coming off a triple-double. I think you can keep him on in your lineups. Dante DiVincenzo has been outstanding, probably one of the most valued contracts this year in terms of, like, production value relative to the contract value. And then I would say Precious Achiuwa also kind of has staying power here with Isaiah Hartenstein now injured with his Achilles again. And I'd be a little bit concerned about this Achilles thing. Like, you don't want to play with Achilles injuries. I know it was an ankle before and then it became Achilles. Like, I don't really know what this is. Maybe it's going to be a calf next. So keep Precious Achiuwa around, man. He's been getting a ton of minutes. He's coming off another double-double. So yeah, I think you can just play a lot of these new New York Knicks guys and the guys that have been kind of holding it down for the time being, because there's just so many injuries going on right now.
Yeah. Rafael, do you Knicks fans know what to do with competent management? Does it confuse you?
I honestly didn't know. Like, it's been – these last few years have been kind of a shock to the system. It's been pretty cool, so.
Yeah. I think, by the way – There should be, let me rephrase that, some internal mandate to get the two, not necessarily the two, but the 2-3. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to avoid Boston in the second round. We're thinking about making a run in the postseason, and that we say that, I think that applies to other teams more than the Knicks, because it's Tom Thibodeau, man. He wants to play 82 mm-hmm. playoff games and then start the playoffs, right? So, like, they're not going half speed. But they do have a motive. And I'm with you on, by the way, I'm with you on Cleveland. I just, every time I'm like, man, I think the Cavs are rolling and I like how they're built. Mm-hmm. And I think they're playing better than they did last year. And they got manhandled.
They did.
The playoffs. Like, that's a concern, isn't it? That, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, I mean, the only way to prove us wrong on that is
go on, do it.
Yeah. So we'll see. I already said everything. I thought the Knicks had probably the best I had the Knicks like the highest on my winners and losers. I loved their deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. Rafael, control yourself, bro.
I'm trying. Hey. This is the happiest we've seen a rap in a long, long time.
After years of having to control myself in the opposite direction, I'm gonna enjoy this.
You should. No, you absolutely should. I'm happy to see it because it does feel good to see the Knicks play well. Yeah. And see all these different faces on their team too. So, and I'll make this short comment here because you talked about the Achilles injury for Hardenstein. Mm-hmm. I played basketball in Chuck Taylor's last week for the first time ever. Boy, how did they do it in the 60s and 70s? I was done for days. I'm talking 2-3 days limping, like laying down. Yeesh. But anyways, Dan, I'll start with you. Gordon Hayward's probably played in Chuck Taylor's many times. But the Oklahoma City Thunder made one deal at the deadline. I thought it was one of the worst deals of the deadline, in my opinion. I gave them a D+. I hated it. So what did you think?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, outside of adding another person that's a competent shooter, I don't really understand the move. Like, I feel like they were better served to bolster that front court, especially if you're trying to make a deep postseason run. You have no answer for the Timberwolves. You have no answer for the Nuggets. You don't even have an answer for the Lakers, to be honest. So if the Lakers get there. But I feel like the Gordon Hayward trade is fine. I just don't understand what Presti is waiting for, right? Like, when are you going to start spending up your capital that you've acquired over these last several years? Like, you have so much ammo, so much in the chamber that you could unleash to go get – to just make this team a playoff contender. And I don't know. I just feel like they have a lot of young guys. I don't think Giddy fits anymore. So I'm just – I don't really know what this move really does in terms of fantasy. I just think it probably worsens Giddy's value. Like, he already wasn't a good player this season, or let's just say he's a disappointment this season. And I feel like if they give Gordon Hayward more minutes, maybe he comes off the bench, maybe he slots in, they move Giddy to the bench. I don't really know, but I think everyone else is fine. It's pretty much a no-impact trade move for fantasy, from a fantasy perspective. But for real-life basketball, I'm like, I don't know why they need to do that, but if they wanted another shooter, okay, you got it. Did you overpay? Probably, because I don't know that Gordon Hayward can stay healthy, but we'll see.
Kurt, what's the more likely situation here? It's game three. Oklahoma City's at home. The crowd is ruckus. Gordon Hayward comes in, drops 22 points. The Thunder get the win. Or Gordon Hayward comes in the fourth quarter. He plays 7 minutes and they lose by 27. What's more likely?
Jeez.
And he sprains his ankle.
That's harsh, dude. I'm afraid I'm going to sprain my ankle talking about Gordon Hayward. I'm with you. I didn't really understand the move other than like trying to bring in a veteran voice, I guess, like, because it's a young team. So you bring in the 33-year-old guy who's been around. But I think, honestly, possibly worrisomely, that he plays, it's more scenario one, that it, maybe they give him real minutes. And he honestly, guys, in the minutes he's been healthy.
It's been good.
He played well, right? Like, is
15,
still,
5-5. Yeah.
So, like, you can plug him in. He's going to make some better – he's not going to make some of the decisions Giddy makes. So, like, there's some positives there. But I'm with you. I didn't really see it. And Dan kind of nailed it. Go get a rim running big. Like, just please go get one – I know that you want to space the floor and, you know, have drives and cuts and all this, but like you get to the playoffs, like you said, A, you got to defend Jokic and everybody in Minnesota and whatever. And B, you got to have some versatility of style. Like you can't just play one way and impose your will on the other team unless you're the 2017 Warriors or something. Like you don't get to play that way. So can they go get Robin Lopez when he gets bought out? Like, go get somebody who's just kind of a big body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Yeah, we'll get to Robin Lopez later because Rafael's calling me rude now. Just wait. But no, I'm just kidding. He's in jail. No, I'm just kidding. Rafael, what were your thoughts? And I'm not trying to be mean about Gordon. I just don't see the move being a big factor for them. Like, he may have one or two moments where he impacts his team, but it's someone I feel like we've already lost trust on.
Yeah, I'm willing to take a wait-and-see approach. Like, the medical history is obviously a concern, but I don't know. It feels like it's it's got to be a freeing feeling to go from Charlotte to a place where there's competent management and you actually have a chance to win. So maybe he receives a bounce in that way once he gets on the court. You know, we'll see what happens there. But fantasy-wise, kind of want to talk about who's going in the opposite direction here. Trey Mann, Vasilije Micic, and Davis Bertans. I don't expect much from Micic or Bertans, but I think Trey Mann might be someone to watch if you're in a deep fantasy league. Their point guard situation in Charlotte has been brutal recently. LaMelo Ball, we don't know if or when he'll return to the action. Ish Smith had been starting for a little bit. I feel like he might be a buyout candidate because what's he really doing there at this point?
I think he already got waived, actually.
He did? Okay, yeah, he did. That's right. He did get waived. So you got him. Cody Martin's done some decent work as like a de facto point guard, but they have a need there. And bringing it back to my college basketball experience, Trey Mann was outstanding his second year at Florida after Andrew Nembhard transferred to Gonzaga. I kind of wonder once he gets a feel of that system in Charlotte, if we can see something similar from him there. Because they really don't have many other guys, and maybe he's someone who could take advantage of that opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of the best growing situations I feel like is for Trey Mann as being the point guard in Charlotte. And Cody Martin's a guy I feel like has been playing pretty well. And the two of those guys are probably some fantasy sleepers for the next few weeks as we enter silly season. Kurt, I'm going to start with you. Dan and Raphael follow up. The Phoenix Suns, they got two bench guys. Absolutely need them in Royce O'Neal and David Roddy. What'd you grade them out at?
B. Like, those are – I mean, they couldn't get the guys – they didn't have the assets to go get the guys they really needed. But I like – Roddy. Roddy's fine, but I like O'Neal. O'Neal, I think – don't you think, like, that's – in he's instantly in their eight, right? When you – that playoff eight, he is now in that mix. He gives them a solid defender, which is better than – most of what they have. So I think he's going to see, I think, I don't know how much of a fantasy impact he's going to make because he's not exactly a scorer and there are three guys who like the ball on that team, but I think he helps them in a basketball sense of just having a solid defensive, knows how to play the game kind of guy that they desperately need more of.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd say it's just a depth move. And I think the Suns made a good trade in getting a guy like Royce O'Neal who can play a variety of positions, can guard multiple positions. He can shoot the three. Not really efficient, but no fantasy impact, but I think it's a good basketball move for the Suns just to bolster that depth that was kind of lacking after trading all those assets for Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I think these guys summed it up pretty well. There's not too much to add there. Additional depth, reliable depth in the case of O'Neal because he's been through these battles in the past, so you know, you still got some supposed lottery tickets on that roster. We talk about like a bull, you know, I'm not expecting anything from him, but he's kind of that player that, well, maybe he can figure something out. Then again, we've been saying that for like 5-6 years throughout his basketball career. So I don't really know about that, but yeah, just to get that depth and add an experience piece there is really going to help them, I think.
You just gave me a flashback, Raphael. I was hanging out with my youngins this past week, as you know, and they said, you know what, Wemby's just going to be a glorified bull. And I started cracking up. I'm like, listen, I'm the bull guy. Like my coworkers, I'm the bull guy. I will never go there. We won't comment too much more on that. But, I like the situation for Phoenix. They need the bench depth. We talked about that all year. That's what they've been missing, so. I definitely grade them at a B as well. Let's talk about Philadelphia and Milwaukee, two teams that traded each other. Pat Bev for campaign. Obviously, Philadelphia had much more. Dan, you want to talk about Jaden Springer some, so you can elaborate on that before Raphael and Kurt hop in.
Yeah, so the Springer deal, I don't really understand because you trade him to a rival. His forte is defense. And I don't know, I just feel like there's going to be that moment if the Sixers see the Celtics sometime in the playoffs where you're just going to have Jaden Springer guarding Tyrese Maxey full court press for like 8 minutes in the game. And it's just going to disrupt the flow of the game. So I don't know. I just don't understand why you trade him to a rival, especially when you knew he was a project. You draft him at the end of the first round. You've been holding on for this long. Why do you just give him up for a second round pick? That's my Sixers fandom coming out there. But the Pat Bev campaign deal just didn't make sense to me. Like, I don't know, maybe Nick Nurse wasn't feeling Pat Bev, so make the swap. Obviously, the Milwaukee Bucks are looking for some sense of identity and some, I don't know, they need some dog mentality. And I feel like putting Pat Bev in that situation mm-hmm. probably works. But I guess this is the Kyle Lowry market now. Like, there's been a lot of rumors of Kyle Lowry being a buyout candidate, and maybe Nick Nurse has the trust in him to bring him back into Philly. The move just doesn't really make much sense to me. I thought Pat Bev paid meaningful minutes for the Sixers. I really like their second unit. You get DeAnthony Melton back in there with Kelly Oubre coming off the bench. Like, that's a pretty good second unit. So I don't know. Like, I haven't seen enough from Kyle Lowry, if that's really where they're trying to go, that I would have confidence that this team got better after making a deal like that. But getting Buddy Hield is nice. Like, you needed another three-point threat. I think they could have got him 3 years ago. So I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe we've seen the best version. This is not the best version of Buddy Hield, what we're getting right now. The dude's averaging like 12 points a game. I think he'll be better than he is now or than he was with Indiana, but this doesn't make the Sixers any better in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion.
Yeah. I was actually really enjoying the Patrick Beverley Paul Reed combination for the last few games and what they were able to do. I'm not going to lie to you. But Kurt, what did you think about the situation? Some Dan said about the Bucks needing that dog mentality, adding Pat Bev. Obviously, they've been a bottom 10 defensive team all year, and with Doc Rivers, 1-5 and outside the top 20, both offensive and defensive net rating.
And Rivers had Beverley in Los Angeles with the Clippers, mm-hmm. knows him, you know. But I think actually that's a good point. And you know, Lillard quickly tried to quash the beef stuff. And we'll see. I think that that's actually a decent pickup. I'm kind of with you guys. Like, Kyle Lowry is simply not as good a player right now as Patrick Beverley. So why are you doing this? If you're – the moves they made, particularly bringing in Hield, suggests Embiid's coming back and we're making a run this year, right? Like, I'm right. So if you're doing that – why are you – and Hield, I'm with you. Hield, I think, actually looks better in this. I don't know that he – with Halliburton emerging and everything that's kind of evolving over there, especially with Siakam now, like, he's just
sure.
– he's going to be a better fit. Yeah, exactly. He's a better fit as the kick-out guy or pass-pass guy off of Embiid when everybody doubles and triple-teams him. So, like, I like that. I think that that's a good fit, but I didn't really get the – Kyle Lowry's, dude, he's just not that good anymore. He's just really, I mean, not. He's just, I feel bad because, like, I loved vintage Kyle Lowry, was like one of my favorite players to watch, but he's just not that guy.
Yeah, Father Time catches up with all at some point. And I will note that Indiana, I really liked what they did in general, even adding guys. Well, they waived Korkmaz, who I thought was a guy that could fit the tempo of what they wanted to do. And I feel like the guys that they traded for were all guys that, with their pace and three-point shooting, Doug McDermott included, were something Indiana could have worked on. Let me ask you, though, this, Kurt. Boston Celtics, they got Xavier Tillman, Jaden Springer, obviously, got rid of Lamar Stevens. Did you like what they did at the deadline moving forward? Because we know the starting five is as good as it gets in the NBA, but they needed a little more on that bench.
No, actually, I like the Tillman pickup. I actually had them as a winner in my winners-losers. Because I think if you're a contender looking to plug a hole, this is exactly what you should do. Like, hey, I mean, you've got Kristaps Porzingis and his lengthy injury history that you're trying to keep mm-hmm. fresh. You've got Al Horford, who started playing in the NBA in the Harding administration. Like, he's been around forever. So like when you've got that, like, now you bring in another quality, solid rotation big man who can block some shots, defend. Position, a little bit of positional versatility with those bigs. He can just soak up some minutes. If we get to the second round of the playoffs and we're seeing a lot of Xavier Tillman, then I'm concerned. But between now and then, like, he's what you need to get you to that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was one of the best pickups in general. You know, the name doesn't pop off on the page, but anyone that watches the Memphis Grizzlies watches Tillman, you know that he seems like a pretty good fit for the Celtics. A younger Al Horford, in my opinion, maybe we'll see. Dan, you want to talk about Indiana a little bit, because I know we've been really high on Halliburton and a lot of the players on their team all season. So did you like what they did overall?
Yeah, I do. I think it more so it's about freeing Aaron Nesmith even more. You know, he started the last 21 games for the Pacers, but I think with one less person to compete with for those minutes now that Buddy Hield's gone, I think he could, you know, raise that up to like 33, 34 minutes potentially. And, he's been a top 80 guy over the last month or so. So I feel like, you know, this is a good opportunity for Neesmith to kind of take a stronghold on that small forward spot. But then also Ben Mathurin hasn't been good in fantasy, but if you look at his numbers when he gets around 28, 29 minutes, you know, he could put up numbers comparable to his rookie season. And I know how good he is at getting to the basket. He's been more efficient this year. I think we're not having to look over his shoulder for Buddy Hield to sub him out. I think it actually help him in the long run too. So I feel like he's a guy that's still widely available that I would still like, even after last night's dud, like I think he's going to have a better rest of season outlook now that Buddy Hield's not there anymore. So I think the Pacers did a good job of getting what they could for Buddy Hield. And then now, you know, investing in their youth and that pace that they can get these guys a lot of minutes and playing freely. So this is going to be a fun Indianapolis team or Indiana Pacers team going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, that run and gun tempo is the style that they're going to live or die by when it comes to the postseason here. And I thought it was interesting. They had better odds to win the Eastern Conference than the Miami Heat. Wow. Don't know train yet. Raphael, a team that wasn't in the top six as far as Eastern Conference odds with the Toronto Raptors. How'd you feel about their deadline?
I don't really know what's going on up there, to be honest with you. you know, they got Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Agbaji from Utah. Olynyk, I thought a lot of people pegged him to go to like more of a contending type team. He's going to be a free agent, you know, in the summer. So I think this may have been about the financials as much as it was getting someone who could provide depth behind Jakob Poeltl. Like Bajji Stone, his rookie deal, you see what you have there. I think he's further along defensively than he is offensively. Neither move really moves the needle for me in fantasy. Maybe Olynyk in deep leagues, but Poeltl's going to play like, what, 28, 30 minutes a game. So I'm not really sure that Olynyk's going to get the time that he would need to be viable in fantasy. So, yeah, I think it felt like they made more moves because they may have felt like they had to. But their big moves were made in January, so.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you there. I did like the Oche Agbaji pickup there. Spencer Dinwiddie, I saw some rumors. We were talking about them earlier. The Lakers are another team that's also rumored to be looking at him. Kurt, do you have an opinion on that? Do you think that could happen?
I don't know what they're going to get. They want Dinwiddie. I hear he's Dallas bound. So.
For sure, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then Lowry's going to end up with the Sixers, and then I'm curious where some of the other guys land. So the Lakers are going to be active. They've got to do Lord, they've got to do something, right? Like they feels like they need some sort of bump. And
I have a question: Are they limited by apron rules by any chance in terms of who they can sign?
So they cannot.
Spencer made Spencer made about $19 million cap figure. So well, I don't even know if they can sign it.
I would have to double check that suddenly because they were talking about it last night. So
okay,
It's very possible that they're under, and I'm remembering that wrong. I just assume they're over, but they're really all two guys. So
okay,
maybe I'm wrong, or they've got stuff coming. Like I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up right now, but maybe they were available because that discussion was going on. I was at the Lakers. Game last night against the Nuggets, which was, by the way, wasn't that like the most Nuggets game of the year? Like, oh, there's 4 minutes left. All right, let's just start running our pet actions and destroy them. Okay.
Oh man, they could have picked that so much of a better opponent for the Kobe statue reveal. Like, you don't choose the reigning champion Nuggets.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you don't have an answer for it,
Yeah. Obviously, this is a fantasy show, but everybody and their mother was on the Lakers last night, and I was like, "Yeah, man, the Nuggets aren't a team you wanna play on a statue night. Like, you should have got the Hornets or the Pistons, brother."
Yeah,
but but a lot of great NBA talk still. We got a few teams to go over next, guys. Before this break, we got Minnesota, Detroit, San Antonio, Memphis, and Brooklyn. But first, reminder: you can find all your favorite NBC sports shows on Amazon Music. Just go over to Amazon.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
/NBC Sports. It's that easy and that quick. Dan, let's talk about Minnesota. They got Monte Morris. They got rid of Shake Milton and Troy Brown Jr. Nothing attractive, nothing sexy, but it's still a deal that we got to talk about here. So do you like it overall for Minnesota?
Yeah, I think it helps Minnesota. Shake Milton wasn't giving them much. Not surprised. I know his game from Philly. But I think Monte Morris is a guy that, you know, hasn't really played much ball over the last year or so just because he's been hurt. But I think he does raise their floor. They could use another creator behind Mike Conley, and Jordan McLaughlin's been good. But I think you get another heady veteran that has playoff experience like Monte Morris in there. He won't make a fantasy impact, but, you know, I think this is a good real-life basketball move for them. And they didn't cost him much. So, yeah, I think it's a good move for Minnesota.
Yeah, Rafael, I wanted your opinion on the San Antonio Spurs. You know, they made a deal, and then they waived Marcus Morris, got rid of Doug McDermott. So, end of the day, nothing really happened for the Spurs. Did you expect anything or them to be moving pieces? Because we talk a lot about their fantasy players.
No, not at all. It was just, I don't know. I think the one thing I'm watching down the stretch here are the minutes for Blake Wesley. How much is he going to play down the stretch? You've got Trey Jones, but it doesn't feel like they've ever been too convinced about him. We remember early in the season, they tried to fool us into believing that Jeremy Sochan was a point guard. You saw that worked out. But, you know, Jones has been back in there. I think Wembanyama has been more effective with that being the case. But now we're seeing the minutes kind of split up a bit between Jones and Wesley at the point. And Wesley was the first-round pick of theirs a couple years back. So maybe he's someone who gets more run down the stretch here. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. I thought Trey Jones was going to be a guy that was on the move. So I was surprised that that did not happen. I know we talked about him, but we're still riding with Jeremy Sochan, Dan. So don't let Rafael ruin our fun. Kurt, what'd you think about either Minnesota, San Antonio, and obviously the overhaul in Detroit is something that we have to cover here in a little detail.
I liked, by the way, the Minnesota pickup with Monte Morris, just because they've got to get Monte. Like, Mike Conley, just give the man some nights off. Like, there's just a lot of nights off.
Yeah.
So, like, he's really the glue that's holding that thing together. And so anytime a solid pickup guy like that is good. I felt a little bad for Monte Morris because he's a Flint guy, right? Like, that's – and he gets there, and then he's got the quadricep thing, and he barely plays, and then boom, you know. All right, we're trading you. So I felt a little bad for him on that front. But I thought that was a solid pickup. I didn't really expect anything with the Spurs. I didn't think, you know, they're still figuring it out, right? So, yeah. I did love your phrasing, by the way. I think it was, Vaughn, you had written a while back that Popovich finally took the training wheels off of him, which was a pretty spot-on assessment of what they've done, and he's looked great since then. Detroit, yeah, that's an overhaul, but finally moving towards, I think they thought that they were going to be in the play-in mix, right? Like, and hey, we're keeping Bogdanovich around because we're going to make some sort of splash and, you know, Cade Cunningham's going to take us there and we're going to be fine. And when it's clear that that's not the case, then guys, isn't this what you should do? All right, let's just really pivot to the young guys and really go all in on them.
Yeah, there's not much to be playing for at Detroit, so I think we're all in full agreement. We've talked about as soon as Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren both got hurt, it's basically mail in your season, get his best draft position, find out what you have in these young guys, and like we said, we've been talking a lot about Jaden Ivey, so we'll continue to be talking about those type of guys moving forward. Rafael, you talked a little bit earlier about Chimeze Metu in Memphis. What did you think about the Grizzlies trade deadline?
Well, Chimezie won't be there anymore. He was as you said, he was waived this morning. They still have Yuta Watanabe from last I checked. Lamar Stevens as well. Yeah, I think he can be, but who knows what they're going to do with those guys. On the surface, you would think they'd probably keep one or two of them around just because of how banged up they've been. And it gives them some options for if they ultimately pull the plug on this thing, which I think most people expect them to do at some point. But I don't see a fantasy impact of the newcomers. I think if anything, you're looking at like a Vince Williams Jr., GG Jackson, seeing those guys get more minutes as they continue to grow and develop. So I think that's going to be your biggest impact there. They didn't add a point guard, so you can't really – I mean, you're not going to roster Scottie Pippen Jr. in the fantasy league. Like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, I think if anything, you're just looking at a few of those young guys who are already there. I thought Luke Kennard could be a candidate to move just because of the three-point shooting, but obviously he's still there.
Yeah, I thought Memphis would do more at the deadline a little bit here, try and set themselves up for next season and not just bring back a similar roster what they entered this year was. But one of the players we talked about that did get moved, it was about 7 or 8 days ago, was Steven Adams, also got traded to the Rockets from the Grizzlies. So they did a little bit. Dan, before I want Raphael and Kurt's opinions on the Brooklyn Nets, what did you think about them?
I mean, I feel like they didn't really do enough. I know that they were trying to – I feel like, I don't know, maybe they should have made a deal with Houston to try to get those picks back, just given where the state of this organization is. Nick Claxton was rumored to be on the block. I don't know why that would be the case. I don't know. I just feel like this team is just mediocre, and they just need some star power. And I don't know, getting Dennis Schroeder doesn't really help that. Like, Ben Simmons isn't reliable in terms of a health perspective, so I guess you raise the floor slightly by bringing in someone like Dennis Schroeder, who's not going to miss a lot of time with injuries. But I don't know. I think it just kind of muddied the waters a little bit. Mikal Bridges is fine. I'm still worried about Cam Johnson. Yeah, not much fantasy value really to extract out of the Brooklyn situation right now.
Raphael, what's your thoughts on Brooklyn, if you have any?
Not really. It just, yeah. I know. Yeah, we'll see. They're in like that 8-10 range in the East. I don't really think the biggest impact in fantasy would be if Ben Simmons were to stay healthy. I think that's the biggest impact there. Other than that, I think you get Dinwiddie out of there because he was losing minutes to Dennis Smith Jr. at times because of poor play. Get Schroeder in there. Maybe you solidify that position a little bit, but I don't think it's going to move the needle in terms of fantasy.
Yeah. Kurt, any opinions here before you let us know what you're going to be working on this week and moving forward?
Well, after the trade deadline, I'm going to work on sleep for a few days. Brooklyn, yeah. I'm still trying to figure out what their path forward is long term. Like, are you going to trade Bridges and trade everybody and strip this thing down and build back up? Or do you just not have the picks anymore to do that? Mm-hmm. So you're just trying to build from the middle. And I think that that's where they're at, trying to find somebody who wants to come play with Bridges and create some cap space. But yeah, Schroeder's an upgrade over Dinwiddie, but yeah. I think Raphael's spot on. Like, it's an upgrade, but that doesn't really change anything for them in the East. So I'm not that thrilled. And, no, next week, by the way, it's Indianapolis and All-Stars, and so we'll have All-Star-related content. And I want to see if they're going to let us. Like, I want to get out and take a couple of shots and run around on the glass floor and see what that – like, I mean, if you were Brad Stevens, would you kind of walk up and put your arm around Jaylen Brown and go, you sure you want to do the dunk contest on the glass floor, man?
Yeah, I'm putting my money on Mac McClung, man. I don't think Jalen's going to give us his best as a result. Mac McClung ain't got nothing to play for. He's cool.
He's a good in-game dunker. He is, right? Like, he's good in-game. Like, that is, Raphael, you guys know this. Like, it is a completely different animal when you're trying to – it's a different game when you're trying to do those dunk contests. And McClung's good.
Yeah, he is.
I cannot wait. I'm still excited to be talking about what we're going to be taking in the dunk contest and three-point contest and all that. I actually didn't even see who was in it, so I'm looking at it now. And I got to say, Mac McClung is probably going to be the favorite in that field. Hopefully, Jaime Jaquez can bring some heat.
Does he have a dunk history that I'm unfamiliar with?
He beat KJ Martin in a dunk contest in high school.
That's right.
Yeah, Jaime Jaquez did crazy high school dunks in some competitions. So, yeah, I think that's clearly a two-man race. Jaylen Brown, I don't know about that one. And Jacob Toppin, sorry, Raphael. So what are you guys going to be working on, Raphael, then Dan, the rest of this week and heading into All-Star weekend?
Just the usual. We're going to preview what's usually a pretty strange fantasy week where it wraps around the All-Star break. So obviously do our little calendar preview for that. Other than that, just gear up to get some rest finally. Can't wait for that. Like, you can have your little dunk contest and all that. I'll watch, but being able to go to sleep at like a respectable hour for a few days, I'm going to enjoy that.
How about you, Dan? Sleep?
No, I'll be attending the All-Star game. So, that'll be cool. I think I'll be working way harder than I want to be, but I don't know. I'm gonna try to enjoy as best I can. So I'll see you out there, Kurt.
Yeah.
I would just say for fantasy, pick up Gigi Jackson, because I feel like after you give a guy a bag like that, like, clearly you believe in this kid. And, only being 19 years old, man, seeing a 20% usage rate in the minutes that he's been getting since he's hit the floor. He looks good, and I'm trying to find a comp for him, and I can't really think of it off the top of my head. I was thinking like Jabari Smith Jr. just because he can stretch the floor and play defense, but I think he's a little bit different than that. So I don't know. Either way, point being, go pick him up. I think he's under roster right now. What am I working on? More trade deadline stuff, reaction pieces. You can find my work at Yahoo, on yahoo.com or the Yahoo Fantasy app. And, going to have some content coming out next week. So check out the playlist on Monday. But yeah, it's going to be a weird week, 2 week for fantasy basketball. So yeah, we'll have a show next week, and then we'll give you guys the advice you need to get through the week.
Yes, sir. And I hope Kurt and Dan, hope you guys both enjoy Indianapolis. It is definitely a fun city. I've been there about 6 or 7 times already. If both of you guys see Permane Brothers and it's open, you can send me a text, and it's on me, because that's the Pittsburgh special right there. How many of you guys have tried for the one time? But want to thank all the viewers for watching the Road World Basketball Show, as always, from Raphael, Kurt, Dan, our producers backstage. We appreciate your guys' support. Enjoy the NBA weekend. Have a safe weekend, and we'll see you next week for some dunk and three-point contests.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.